Good morning, everyone. How are you all this morning? Everybody doing well? It's so good to see you all. To be able to be in the house of the Lord is a great treasure. It's one of my favorite places to be. I'd like to share with you the announcements for this week. As you can see, several families are still missing. They're traveling back today, so please be praying for safe travels for them. Saturday will be adult game night at Sister Gary and Melissa's. They're back greeting the doors this morning. If you haven't told them you're coming and you want to, please do so that they can prepare. They're going to have snacks and some refreshments for us, so please let them know. It's going to be a great time. Next Sunday, kids, everybody stand up. Kids, stand up. Awesome. Some listen. We're still working on it. Guys, come on. It is April. We should all know how to listen. You're going to be moving grades next month. So next week on Sunday is Youth Converge Sunday. Who likes that? Kids, do you like Youth Converge Sunday? I'm not sure who's making breakfast or brunch, but I always hear awesome reviews. So thank you for everybody who supports the youth in our church. They make up a huge part of our family here at the Lighthouse. We're very thankful for them. We're thankful for our youth pastors and our teen pastors and everybody, all the teachers who take time to invest in them. Don't forget about the men's conference coming up on May 6th. It's $35. Teens go for free. There is a flyer at the door with Jason Jordan's phone number. You can let him know if you're going. May 7th, then, will be when we pray for graduating seniors. So please make sure that they come out. We want to be able to pray for them and just continue to pray God's blessing on them as they go into adulthood. Wednesday nights, who loves family night at the Lighthouse? Very good time. We love coming together. It's very important that you be here if you're able to. We are going to be starting a series. We're going to be setting aside our lessons book. We're still doing Bible study, but we're going to do a different series focused on outreach and teach. That's what we've been hearing a lot around here, reach and teach. We're getting ready to gear up for target season, so please make sure that you're here. It'll be changing on Wednesday, May 4th, and next week we should have some literature for those. Please visit the website or the app and stay connected. Get involved where you can. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. We are the body of Christ, and we need each other to function and be God's hands and feet here on this side of heaven. So thank you so much. Now I would like for you to all greet each other. Look to the person on your left with a smile. Now with the person on your right with a little wave. Now, the person behind you, I want you to give them a high five or a fist bump and say, I am so glad you're here. Coming together is such an encouragement. I remember when I was first saved and I first gave my heart to Christ, how much of a reassurance and a hope it was to be able to come together in the house of the Lord. It's a very special place to me. Being around other believers, and especially here at the Lighthouse, our church family, it's something very unique that God has ordained, and it's a beautiful place to be. Sometimes it was what got me through the week when I was first saved, and still to this day, it's one of my most favorite places to be. Here lately, though, I've been thinking a lot about hope and why it's so important. So today, I wanted to open up with a few scriptures on hope. The definition of hope is a feeling of expectation, a desire for a thing to happen. Another definition is a person or a thing that may help or save. Romans 15 tells us that God is our source of hope. It reads, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with this confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:12 tells us to rejoice in our confident hope, which we just heard is God, our Savior. It reads, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, keep on praying. Church, keep on praying. So today I want to encourage you to press into this hope we are given. Lift your hands, raise your voices, and rejoice. God is good. He is our ever-present help, and he will always be there. He will never leave us, and that is good news, church. He's worthy of our praise. He's worth everything that you have to give him. He will never leave you. He will never fail you. Even when this world feels like it's pressing in, keep your eyes on Christ because he's just getting started. Please stand as we pray and prepare to bring our tithes and offerings. The ways to give are on the screen. God, we just thank you, dear Lord Jesus, for the hope that you are. We thank you for your goodness. We praise you. We worship you. Hear us this day and meet us in this place. Have your way, Lord. Pour out your spirit over us. Do what only you can do. Lord, bless these tithes and offerings. Multiply them for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we all say.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heartache, the pain, and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word isn't failing, his promise secure.
He told the wise star, bien, everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands, the whole world's in his hands. In the darkness and the trials, he's faithful and he's true. The whole world's in his hands, he told the wise star, bien.
Oh, 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 everything will be alright. todo el mundo en su mano está, todo el mundo en su mano está, todo el mundo en su mano está. Pequeña nube del tamaño de la mano de un hombre, es una señal de que su gloria va a caer. Yo veo una pequeña nube del tamaño de la mano de un hombre, es una señal de que su gloria va a descender hacia yo. Llover. Abre las puertas del cielo.
Let it rain.
todos lo verán.
Yes. Worship you, and you are. We make
estás obrando, siempre estás, siempre estás obrando.
Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you working. Even when I don't feel it, you working. You never stop, you never stop working.
So the Lord says, I am. I am the great I am, and I am here in your midst today. I am going to perform miracles among you. He is calling you out of your seat to come up and take a hold of the promises that he made at the cross. Don't wait. Come to the altar now and receive what he is wanting to heal you from today. He is healing backs today. He has specifically highlighted stomachs today. He is here in the midst to heal you. Do not hesitate. Come running to the altar. If you are bound by addiction, if you are bound by anything, come to the altar and receive his healing. He is here amongst you today. He says, I am the great I am. There is no other God. I am the miracle worker, and I am here in your midst. Come. Come out of your seat. Don't stand there. Everybody in this place needs a touch from God. Don't hesitate. Don't miss what he is doing. If it's a refreshing in your spirit, if you have not given your life to the Lord, come forward. Don't wait. He is calling you out of your seats today. Come and give him honor and glory that is due his name. Do not hesitate. Do not hesitate. You feel that pull in your spirit. Come forth.
You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't.
Dios sabe cuánto me ha costado cantar esta última parte. ¿Cuánto me ha costado cantar esta parte?
Only God knows how much I have struggled to sing this part of the song.
Tú me conoces, yo no fingo esto.
My dad knows me. I usually don't do this.
A veces hay momentos en nuestras vidas.
There are times and seasons in our lives.
No importa que seamos adolescentes, jóvenes, adultos.
It doesn't matter if you're an adult or you're a young person or you're a teenager.
Donde no sabemos dónde está Dios.
Where we don't know where God is.
¿Dónde estás? ¿Por qué no te veo?
Where are you, God? Because I cannot see you.
Las situaciones no cambian.
Situations don't change.
Nada parece cambiar.
Nothing seems to change.
Pero ¿sabes dónde está Dios?
But you want to know where God is?
¿Dónde lo dejaste la última vez?
He is in the same place where you left him.
Él está ahí.
But he is here.
Y me encanta porque esta canción dice,
and I love it because this song says,
aunque no pueda ver,
even though I don't see it,
tú estás orando.
You are working.
Aunque no pueda ver,
even though I don't see it,
tú estás orando.
You, God, are working.
Dios está orando en esa situación por la que estás
God pidiéndole. Is working in the situation you're living.
Por tus padres.
God is by your side.
Por tus hijos.
He's working on your
por
children.
Tus amigos.
He's working on your friends.
Parece que no pasa nada.
It seems like nothing is happening.
Pero Dios está orando.
But God is working. Come on, church. Can you take this moment and say, I know he's here? This is faith. It takes faith to say it. He's here. Come on.
Siempre estás sobrando.
Open up your mouth. And say it out loud.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it.
It takes faith to declare.
You never stop. You never stop working.
Declare it with your mouth.
You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it,
tell him I don't need to see him.
Even when
I know he's working on my behalf.
You never stop.
Something is going on this morning in the lighthouse.
You never stop. You never stop.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost and fire. Holy Ghost and fire.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
Can you pray for the person next to you?
You never stop working.
Pray for that person next to you. Pray for that person. I feel in my spirit that something is about to break loose in this place.
You never stop working.
I feel like as soon as you start praying, God can give you a word. God can touch that person. God can do something. Something can be broken today. Come on, church. Come on, church. Where's the people that still believe in the Pentecostal fire of God? Where's the people that still believe that the fire of God can burn everything that needs to be burned, can change everything that needs to be changed, can break everything that needs to be broken, can heal everything that needs to be healed? God is alive. He is in this place. This is not a religion. This is not just one more service. Something is happening that is going to mark the rest of your life this morning. Come on. These young people up here in the altar, God is telling me these are the ones that are going to shake this region, are going to shake this nation for Jesus with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you believe with me that he's here, worship him with all of your heart. Give him everything. Give him the best of you. Doesn't he deserve it? Doesn't he deserve it? In heaven, angels praise his name. And as I speak right now, I believe that heaven is releasing angels to worship God in this house. I believe with all of my heart that when God sees his people worshiping with all of the heart, angels join us and they bring gifts, they bring healing, they bring a word from the throne of God. Oh, enjoy his presence, church. Enjoy his presence. He's so good. He's so amazing.
Even when I don't see your work.
There are friends and brothers in this place that they need a miracle in their families. They need a miracle in their lives.
You never stop working.
Isn't this a good time to believe for a miracle in their lives? And say, I stand by your side, brother. I stand by your side, sister. You're not alone. I'm here praying for you. I'm here believing with you. I'm here believing that the promises of God will be fulfilled in your life. And the purpose of God will be fulfilled in your life. This is the time when we are the church of Christ. Because right now, it's not a matter of my own request. It's not a matter of my own prayer request. Is where I stand in the gap on behalf of my brother and my sister. And I believe God for miracles. I believe God for healing. I believe God for a breakthrough. Let's do one more thing before we keep in the flow of the Holy Ghost. And I just want to make sure that we do this under the authority of the Spirit of God. I want all the church here today, even the ones that are on the seats, to lift up your hands and give God all the glory. Can we do that this morning? Let's give him all the glory. Even the ones on the seats. Come on. Come on. Open your lips. Open your mouth and say, you are worthy of the glory. You don't need to wait for the person next to you to do it. You can do it. Give him the glory. I'm helping you to feel God's presence. I'm helping you to see God working in your life. When you give him the glory. When you give him the glory for your life. How many times he saved you, give him the glory. How many times he's healed you, give him the glory. How many times he has protected you from death, accidents, disease, and all kinds of evil stuff, give him the glory. How many times have he spoken a God word, living word in your life that has brought you back to your feet, give him the glory. How many times has he forgiven you from your sins, give him the glory. Give him the glory. Whenever you give God the glory, the presence of God will never resist pouring himself upon the church. Hallelujah. What a presence. What a presence.
Siento decirte en esta mañana,
I feel from God to tell you this morning,
la iglesia no es un lugar para personas perfectas.
That the church is not a place for perfect people.
No estamos aquí porque seamos perfectos.
We are not here because we're perfect.
El pastor no es perfecto.
The pastor is not perfect.
Los líderes que están todo el tiempo aquí al frente los domingos,
leaders that are working every Sunday here,
no son perfectos.
Are not perfect.
Si alguna vez te has sentido rechazado por alguien de la iglesia,
if you've ever felt rejected by somebody in the church,
déjame decirte,
let me tell you this,
ese no fue Dios.
It wasn't God.
Porque Dios está buscando gente imperfecta.
Because God is seeking for imperfect people.
La iglesia es un hospital.
The church is like a hospital.
Al hospital no va la gente sana.
People who are totally healed don't go to the hospital.
Va la gente enferma.
People who are sick go to the hospital.
Para sanarse.
To be healed.
Y nuestro doctor,
and our divine doctor,
es el doctor
de doctores.
Is the doctor of doctors.
Entonces, si alguna vez has sentido
so if you have ever felt
que no perteneces aquí,
that you don't belong to this house,
déjame decirte que no es así.
Let me tell you, you're wrong.
Esta es tu casa.
This is your house.
Esta es mi casa.
This is my house.
Esta es la casa de Dios.
This is the house of God.
De papá, Dios.
This is the house of our dad, God.
Dios les bendiga.
God bless you.
Years, and you have felt like you have not seen anything produced from that. That the people that you've been praying for and trying to reach have fallen short. They have it doesn't look like what you thought it was going to look like. Today is not the day to give up. Today is not the day to say, you know what? That seed didn't produce. I'm going to throw another one. No. It's time to come alongside the ones that we've been praying for years and we've seen nothing produced from that. We've seen nothing happen. We've seen the same person yesterday, today. They've been the same one. No change in their life. Not today. Today's the day where we're going to take authority over those things. The ones that are not here with us today that we've been praying for years and years for revelation of Jesus Christ to be in their lives. Today's the day that God is going to mark something in them and they will forever be changed. And get ready. Get ready and you have yourself ready because it's coming. It's coming. The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So the harvest is coming to you, to your loved ones that you sought after. Years and years and years, the harvest is coming. Father, I just thank you right now, Lord. I thank you for this service today, God. I thank you for how you've moved and manifested yourself in this place this morning, Father. Now, God, I just ask, Lord, that you just completely take over myself in this service, God. Let everything that comes from me be of you and not of myself, Lord. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you just open every heart and mind to receive the word that you have in this morning. God, I pray, Lord, the ones that have been spoken to and spoken over this morning, the healings that's taken place, Father. God, I pray for confidence in that, in those things that have taken place in these people's lives today, Lord. When an enemy comes and says that you're not healed, I command him to leave right now in the name of Jesus as we have accepted our healing in him. And we thank you for that, Jesus, right now. So, Father, I just ask, Lord, just one more time, that you just anoint me today to give this word. And I thank you for what you're going to do in this place and what you've already done. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is good to be with you today. I believe that God has given me a word for you this morning, and I believe that he wants it is time to release it. So I just want to say thank you to those of you that are here today that have come here not to support me, but to support Jesus and to love him, show your reverence to him. But today is the day that I really believe in my heart that we are going to be changed forever. This is not just going to be something. The word that God has given me for today has been a word that's been on my heart recently, and I believe it's going in line with what we've been receiving these last few weeks. It's going right in alignment with exactly what Pastor Joe's been preaching, what Pastor Darius has preached. It's just falling right in line with that, and I'm so excited to share this with you today. Also, I would like to share my shirt with you today, all right? Leah made this for me. She does okay. Every once in a while, she does what I ask her to do. I know. Before I get started, I do need to remember to release, I see Debbie back there. The kids, you are dismissed to go back to your classrooms. The teens will be staying with us today. Hallelujah. Half the church is gone. This is why he said this is a generation that will shake the walls. There they go. There they go. This morning I want to talk to you about something that I believe is right where we're at. It's such a time for this word, I believe, is now. And my title for this message this morning is simply, The Heart of the Sower. The heart of the one sowing the seeds. Those of you in here that are saved and you have a relationship with Christ, you have went through that process where someone planted you, you fell on good ground, you sprouted, and God gave you the increase. And that's amazing. But today, we're going to talk about why we do what we do. Why are we sowing seeds? Is it just because we want to see a bunch of people fall by the wayside or get taken by the birds or choked by the thorns? But just because we throw an abundance of seeds, that's enough. And maybe one gets it. No, it's time that we dig deep into understanding what we're doing and understanding the responsibility that comes with planting seeds. You see, there's a responsibility that takes place in us. When we're planting seeds, that's not something we should take lightly, okay? Being a sower, sharing the gospel to people is not something that we take lightly, but it can be easily overlooked at times. Maybe I got my quota today. I don't know. But maybe it's just time to take a little bit deeper in understanding, okay, if I'm planting a seed, I better be prepared to tend to the seed. If we're planting seeds, we got to be ready to take care of the seed. We got to be ready to till the soil, and I'm going to get into that. But this morning, I have two questions for you before I get started, and it's simply, have you prepared your field, and have you tended to your seed? Have you prepared your field, and have you tended to your seed? And I have, I'm going to come back to those throughout this message, but we have been praying for 10% of our community. 10% of our community is what we've been praying for lately. Pastor, it's been on pastor's heart. It was a word given to this church. So I have to ask you, 10% of our community is going to require more than 10% of our efforts. 10% of our community goes deeper than just corporately praying here on Sundays for people to just come to know Christ. 10% of our community involves getting out of this church, getting out there and sowing good seeds on good ground. It's time that we take what we have learned in this place. We are so blessed to have the pastors that we do. We are so blessed to have pastors that are kingdom mindsetted. That doesn't happen everywhere. I don't know how many of you have been up to other churches. I've been here almost my whole life, so I'm blessed to have that. But I also get rebuked a lot. In a good way, right? Just because maybe I get out of my comfort zone and Pastor Joe just cracks me once in a while. But we got to understand something, that the fact that we have pastors that are kingdom mindset, meaning we have pastors that are willing to take this church and get outside of this building to understand what a church really is, to understand it's not the walls we're enclosing on Sundays. We have pastors that want to turn this place inside out and affect the ones around us. And if we're not willing to do what it takes, then how we expect this place to grow, not even in numbers. I'm talking about salvations. Once again, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, not Lighthouse PCG. We will have a place for them to come, but we are preparing the heavens for what Jesus has made the way for. So this morning, I want to read to you, coincidentally, the heart of the sower, probably parable of the sower, right? I want to read to you out of that, just the first part of this. This is the parable itself. And it's Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9. And it reads, Then he told them many things in parables, saying, Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seeds fell on good ground and produced fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone have an ear, listen. So we have the sower who's walking around, and we're tossing some seed on the path. Some falls on the rocks, the thorns, then the good ground. This is why I asked you, are you prepared to plant your seeds? Are you prepared to sow your seeds? Because if you're not prepared, you will find a lot of your seeds falling among the rocks and the thorns and along the path where they will not grow. Are you prepared? You see, there's a responsibility that comes with every seed that you plant. There's a responsibility. I believe, and I cannot wait the day that we get to heaven and we can look back at the people that said, I'm here because there was something that he did in my life. And I want to see in you too. I'm not glorifying myself, but that's what we should have to look forward to. The amount of people that have gotten there because of the seed that you planted and you tended to. There should be a line of people that day. So are you prepared to plant? As I said a little bit ago, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That's straight from the Bible. We got this twisted mindset sometimes where we think that there's nobody else out there. Well, if he hasn't came back yet, you're wrong. Because if that was the case, there'd be no reason to wait any longer. But no. His laborers are the ones that need to start getting ourselves ready. It is us. He has placed the responsibility upon us to go out there and reach the lost. Now, we're not going to save somebody ourselves. We cannot do that. But we can carry the word and get it out there. But when I say, are you prepared to plant? There's a scripture. I don't know if I gave this to them or not. But it's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. Now in this statement, the word sanctify is consecrate, and fear means reverence. So we should be conducting ourselves so that people in the world are compelled to ask what makes us different. When they ask, we should be ready with a sound and reasonable answer. With a sound and reasonable answer. That's where we should be. That is where we should be. We should be walking a walk in this world that we, it's not just our words that makes us different. Because can I tell you, to the ones outside of the Christly family that is not saved, to them, you're just talking out of another book. Sometimes we get so caught up because we believe in the Bible. We believe that the Bible is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what the Father said. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Him. The Word was Him. And we believe in that. And that is true. That is very true. But we get so caught up in our beliefs that we just expect the ones that know nothing about Him to just understand everything that we are trying to say. It doesn't work that way all the time. We have gotten ourselves to a place where we are so caught up, and it's good. We are in good. We are blessed to be this is the time to shine in this nation and in the world. Right now is the time to shine, not to panic. You want to talk about reaching others? When people start freaking them about what's going on in this nation, don't freak out. Have a sense of comfort inside of you, knowing, you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who my president is. It doesn't matter what takes place. What matters is that Christ is still on the throne. Christ is still going to be there yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And no matter what, at the end of the day, His will is going to be done. But it's time to get out of our seats. It's time to get out there. It's time to start planting seeds, tending the seeds. It's time to get out there, out of this church, and winning souls to Jesus. To Him it is the glory. Paul said, I became all things to all men. Are we ready to become all things? Are you at a spot in your life that you can become something to reach somebody else? You know, when I was preparing this, there was a few spots in this message that I just was amazed by what God was showing me. And one of the things, and I kind of just touched on it, was the fact of when I'm ministering to somebody, why don't I put myself in their shoes? Why don't I just try one time, every time, to just make my, let's just pretend that I'm preaching to Caleb, or I'm ministering to Caleb, all right? And I'm going to be Caleb BC, right, before Christ. What am I even going to hear? It's going to be every other word probably out of my mouth, especially when someone comes up to me and starts telling me a bunch of Bible verses that I don't even really know. Don't discredit anything. I mean, I have no problem with people sharing Bible scriptures. Don't take it that way at all. But what I'm saying is, you know what I noticed? You know what I noticed? I noticed people that didn't say a whole lot to me, but I noticed when they showed their love to me by their actions. I noticed when I looked at somebody that I knew years ago and I seen them changed by Jesus. That's what spoke to me. That's where I became. You know what spoke to me? When I'd walk into a building, and I'm telling you what, here's what spoke to me. When I see guys like Brother Farler, that ever since I came here as a little boy, I would see Brother Farler was here. He'd preach so much back in the day. And I'd see that, and I'd think, man, if that old dude can do it for this long, he's got to be doing something right. And he's happy 24/7. He has a smile. You're not going to win a lot of people. Lead them to Christ with a frown. This morning, I'm talking to you about our image as Christians, our image of the ones carrying the torch, who we are, what we do, how many people actually receive what we're giving them. And when to just shut our mouth and listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, I hope that didn't come off bad. But when to just be quiet and listen and say, you know what? All right. Maybe that guy needs to do what I'm trying to do right now. Because just maybe their story relates to this person a little better than what I'm trying to do. There's a reason. There's a purpose. I've talked with the teens so many times about this, that Jeremiah 29:11. A lot of us know the verse. But he knew us since we were in our mother's womb. And he has a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And maybe that purpose is just solely for you to share your story with somebody. It's okay. Man, you guys are quiet. That's all right. But it's tough to look back at ourselves at times. When we have plants of our own that haven't produced. Looking back at ourselves, how do I expect? I just realized this kind of comes off as a rough word. I'm not meaning that at all. I'm just preaching what he gave me, all right? Maybe he wanted me to do it so Pastor Joe didn't look like the bad guy. I don't know. No, I'm kidding. He'd do it too. But listen, if you have no fruit that you have bared, how are you going to plant a tree and watch it grow? How? What are you saying, Caleb? It's easy. What about that person that comes up to you and starts asking you about things in the Bible or certain script? There's some out there on the other side, contrary, that actually know just as much Bible as what we do. And they will challenge you and they will beat you. Why? Because you're not rooted. I've been beat before. It's not easy dealing with people that almost just want to test our knowledge. Well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. So do you really know? Can you answer those questions this morning? Can we be the ones? Can we stand in that place? You see, we hold this area to such a high standard. But this area right here is preaching to the ones that are coming, right? People are going to get saved in this church, and I believe that. But he's teaching and he's preaching to us every week. But you know where it's really, really important? It's those of us that are out there in the field. Now, he does that too. All pastors, good pastors, in my opinion, humble opinion, will do the same thing. But out there, that's where it's important. That's where the work needs done. That is where. Now, we've seen stuff take place this morning in this altar, and we've seen God move in people's lives, and we will never discredit what the Lord does in this place. But I'm telling you right now, when you are out there in that field, on the front lines, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, rooted in knowing what to say, when you're connected with the Holy Spirit, that's so important right there. If you are connected and you are rooted and grounded in Him, there is not one person that can stump you. There is not one person that can come at you and even fight you with scripture that you're not going to be able to help them understand things. I have had times in my life where I'd had to literally say, you know what, buddy? You and me just aren't going to see eye to eye right now because you don't even believe what I believe, and that's fine if you don't. That's on you. But I'm just going to tell you one thing. You know who they call? You know who guys at my, even my job, guys that work around me, you know who they call when they're going through something in their life? They call me. They say, all right, I know we talked about this the other day, but and you know that I don't really believe it, but I figured it's prayer. Okay. Absolutely. It's a prayer that I can do for you, buddy. I worked with some of the weirdest, man, it's pretty weird, some of the meanest people in some of my days. And, you know, just a few years ago, there was a guy that I worked with a couple years prior to that, and he was a mechanic at a place that I worked. He was rough, man. He was rough. I don't even know that I ever spoke to him about the Lord or anything like that. I think I bought a Bible one time, and I put it on his workbench at work. Never said a word about it. I left that place, that was probably 2 years, and my phone rang. I'm like, what is he calling me for? So I pick it up. I'm like, what's up, man? It's Caleb. What's up? Nothing. It's going good. He said, I got something going on. And at that moment, I felt it just drop. Like, this is right here. This is where it's at. He said, I got to have back surgery. He said, I got to have my back worked on because if I don't, they're telling me I might be paralyzed. So what he said to me, and I said, well, bud, he said, first and foremost, I'm going to put it to you like this because this is what's most important. Number one, no matter what happens to you, where's your heart at? Are you loving the Lord? I'm trying. I said, that's good. I didn't say, you got to try harder. I just said, that's good, man. And I said, and I told him, I said, the fact that you call me today tells me that you're trying. So I said, we can do this two ways. I said, I can come to you, and I'll lay hands on you and pray for you, or I'll pray for you over the phone. It's totally your call. He said, pray for me over the phone. I said, all right. So I did. He had surgery. He was fine. He never even called me back. I don't care. I don't care. If you need to use me for a prayer, then let me be your doormat and you use me for a prayer. If he needs to use you in any way, any capability in your life, don't discredit. Just remember, he's still using you. He's still using you. It doesn't, I'm telling you, we get so caught up thinking, well, if I'm not doing this big thing, or well, if I'm not laying hands on people and they're getting healed, then I'm not doing the work of God. No, that's not quite right at all. Because let me tell you, the people that lay hands on people and you see the miracles take place, in their mindset, they understand something. It's, you know what? I can do this. God's going to use me in this gift right now because I understand that the greatest miracles are taking place outside. But everybody else that are saying, planting seeds, throwing seeds in good ground, that's the greatest miracle ever to mankind, ever in the world, is winning someone, giving their heart to Christ. That's where it's at. You get that mindset, you start living in a Christly mindset, things just start happening around you. Things just are happening. Miracles just are there. You don't even have to necessarily invite a miracle into the room. When Jesus is there, you might as well expect them to happen. When Jesus is there, salvations will be there. What am I saying? Well, portray Jesus, people will get saved. Hallelujah. We got to be rooted. We have to be rooted. We cannot just sow seeds, throw seeds willy-nilly, and just toss them everywhere. But sometimes, going back to the young bucks, or in the old season vets. Talking about brother, father, not a woman in a room, just him. We need some guidance. We need a little bit of guidance, believe it or not. These teens, these kids in this church that we have here, we need help sometimes. We do. And what we need, actually, come here, Sam. Here's what we need. I'll show you. Come here, Brother Farler. Here's what we need. Because we got us young bucks out there, day in and day out. We're trying our best to live for him, do what he wants us to do. But you know, sometimes we just need somebody like a seasoned vet to come alongside of us, pray over us, and then just start walking together that way. Walk alongside of us and start saying, hold on, bud. Don't stray off a little bit that way. Don't go too far. Just listen to me. I've been through the trenches of ministry, and let me show you what I've learned. Hallelujah. You may be seated, but you see, there's also times, you guys can be seated. There's also times that some of us seasoned guys, no, you come here still, you can come to me. Some of us old guys, right? I'm betting you probably like some of that old-time gospel music, don't you?
I like it really good.
Yeah, that's right. But guess what? You're willing to listen to something else to reach the younger generation too,
amen,
aren't you? Hallelujah.
People need the Lord.
Sometimes it doesn't matter what we like. It's what we have to do. Yeah. We come along, we link arms together, and together we will conquer and defeat the enemy day in and day out. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Day in and day out. We need a generational move of God in this country, in this world. We need a generational movement of God, not just a Sunday morning filling. We need a generation. So this morning I want to talk to you about the farmer. The farmer vision. Do I got any farmers in here? You do? Yeah, I would believe that. You have a huge garden and chicken everywhere. She has that thing's demonic. She has demonic chicken. If you ever go there, stay in your car. It's a true story. I took some feed over there. I was feeding the stinking thing. Comes out of the bush like this. See ya. But this morning, I think it's amazing as we're surrounded by a cattle farm. We have fields everywhere, and we can look out and we can see the work that the farmers have been doing to prepare their field to plant their crops. And that's step one. As a farmer, they have a duty to prep their soil. They have to get out there. They have to run their tractors. They have to turn their dirt over, right? Not only are they doing that, they're spreading lime across their field so that the seeds can take. It makes the ground fertile. They're prepping the soil. If they don't prep the soil, they're not going to have very much of a harvest. I'm not talking about the harvest. I'm talking about their harvest. I'm not talking about the harvest that's plentiful. I'm talking about their harvest. The line when you get to heaven is what I'm talking about right now. But you see, they prep the soil. And after they prep the soil, they start sowing the seeds. They sow the seeds. They have equipment out there that spreads the dirt open, plants the seed, and throws the dirt right back over top of it. Now, there's some seed that you can throw. But if the seed that they throw with their spreaders lands on the road or off to the side, it's not going to grow. Only when it hits that soil, the prepared soil, is when that seed's going to grow. So now the seeds are planted. This starts the fertilization process. It doesn't stop. They start fertilizing before they plant. They will put nitrogen in the ground. They will do all these things. I was hoping I had a farmer in here. That way he could say yeah or no to everything I say. But they start fertilizing. They put anhydrous in the ground long before they put the seed in as they till, right? Then the seed's planted, and the seed is still becoming fertilized. They have to take care of it. Even when it starts to sprout, after that seed has a breakthrough, we'll get to that, but a breakthrough, and it starts to grow, they still have to fertilize. But do you know how many different fertilizers there are out there? A lot. And if they're not careful, they could ruin their crop. See, if they're not careful, they could put something on that crop that they put in there to kill the weeds before they planted, and then they just kill their crop, the whole field. There's a specific fertilizer for each one. Even after it comes up, you can kill your crop. Are you spraying for bugs? Are you actually trying to grow that plant? Or are you just throwing fertilizer out there saying, I hope this is the right stuff? And then they wait. Because what they can't do is they can't say, all right, son, I need you to come up today. All right, thanks. Rain, I need you to rain today. Thanks. They can't do it. They cannot do it. It's out of their control. They cannot. We cannot on command say, I need it to be sunny, or I need it to be 75. So if that was the case, we'd all have a really nice tan. Even if we didn't want one. They have to wait for the rain and the sun to come. So up until this point, we have the prepared fields, the tended seed, and the sowing of seeds. So let me dive back into the scripture in Matthew 13:18-23. Now this is where he explains the parable. Now pay close attention to what he says here. It says, so listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now the one sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on good ground. The one sown on good ground. Good ground. This is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Let me ask you again, have you prepared your field, and have you tended to your seed? We've heard the farmer vision. I think I was preparing this and I kept hearing that word farmer vision. I thought of the old TV. Believe it or not, I am that old, right? Where we'd use the antennas, catch farmer vision. I don't know why I kept seeing that, but prepping the soil. We cannot have a field vision with a mindset of a garden. Do you understand that? We cannot have a vision of a field for a harvest with the mindset of a garden. Meaning, going back to planting those seeds, sowing those seeds, taking on responsibility for those seeds. If you are not careful, you will plant more than what you can fertilize. You will plant a lot. And I'm not saying that other people won't come alongside and fertilize them, but you got to understand something. There's people that you're going to come in contact with, that we come in contact with every day, and they're going to need us to come back. And they're going to want to come back to us because your story is the story they needed to hear. They're going to come back. The last thing we can do is reject them. The last thing we can do is push someone off to the next person. If God uses someone else, then guess what? We got to be okay with it. That's important too. That is so important. We cannot get upset with one another because we're trying to minister to somebody and someone else comes along and ministers them. And all of a sudden, that person that we're trying to fertilize and that root that has taken place and growing, still growing, relates a little bit more to that person. Hey, praise God. Praise God. Stop worrying about you and what you have to do in that situation and start considering and worrying about the fact and the matter is that someone is joining you in eternity. We got to get excited. Now, this picture that I found up here, the sower's heart, where it says prep the soil. This spoke so much to me because I was watching and I was doing some studying when I was preparing this. And one of the things that I seen was a video where a guy that, you know, he went to Nazareth is where he was at when he took this picture. And what this is a picture of, in the middle, you see the guy with the hammer and there's a rock. He's in a field. This was a farmer who was out there in his field and he was picking rocks up and moving them off the field. But when he would come to a rock that was too big, too heavy that he could not lift up, he would get a hammer and break that rock so that it was in small enough pieces so he could get it off the field, allowing his plants to grow, making it to where his field was ready for a harvest to take place. He was out there doing the work, coming alongside his crops, saying, he's not going to be able to sprout because that's a big rock, but I'm not going to be able to get it, and I ain't got no help. Okay, I have a hammer. Yeah, I have a tool. You have a tool bag called the Holy Spirit that's willing to give you any answer and any tool you need. All you got to do is ask him for it. All you got to do is say, Father, you see this rock that I'm dealing with right now in this person's life that I'm trying to minister to, and I just can't do it. I don't know what it is. If it's someone else, bring someone else. But if it's me, show me what I got. And all of a sudden, boom, he's going to give you a hammer to start breaking rocks. Are you ready to start breaking rocks for your crop to grow? Are you ready to start getting out in your field, even when it's rainy and muddy outside, and preparing it to where the field can grow and produce a harvest? Break the rocks. Break the rocks and make room for the ones that need to be there. We have the sowing of seeds. Sowing of seeds. And in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, he will also reap. Because the one who sows to his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh. But the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Can I ask you this morning the simple question, what is your why? What is your why? I hear this in my workplace a lot. I'm sure some of you do too, but what is your why? Why are you doing what you do? Why are you planning? Why? What exactly is it that you're looking for? I'll tell you what my why is. I'll tell you what Caleb's why is. I want to overflow heaven. That's what I want to do. That's why I'm speaking to people about Jesus. Because I want the heavens to overflow in my vision. I know God will make enough room for everybody that comes there. But I'm telling you what, the Bible also says that straight is the way and narrow is the gate. But I want heavens to overflow with souls. I want heavens to just get so filled up. And I don't care if they're getting filled up from right here. I don't care if they're getting filled up from Findlay, Ohio, Upper Sandusky, Ohio. It doesn't matter to me. All I care about is souls are overflowing heaven. That's what matters to me. And if I'm not out there every day asking God how, when, where, what do you want me to do today to help with this, then I'm failing. I'm failing, and I failed a lot. Because a lot of times I get so caught up in myself, so caught up in my problems that my season of planting just went away. I'm not even sowing seeds anymore because I'm too worried about myself. It's all about leading others to Christ his way, not my way. Some of you are here in this place today because God brought you here, not because someone told you to come here. You're here because God brought you here. His way. And if God tells you to get out of this church and go out there and start an evangelist ministry, then if that was God telling you to do it, go do it his way, not your way. And the only way you're going to know his way if you start seeking his face to figure out what his plan is for your way. Fertilizing our crops. Going to Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, it says, and he told this parable. A man had a fig tree that was planted in a vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it and found none. He told the vineyard worker, listen, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this tree and have not found any. Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil, he said. But the vineyard worker replied to him and said, sir, leave this tree, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will produce fruit next year, but if not, you can cut it down. He was ready to cut it down because he didn't see any fruit. But the worker said, now hold on a second. Just let me try something here. And I think it's the King James Version. He used dung to fertilize it. How many times have we given up on one that didn't produce? How many times have we stopped pouring into somebody's life because we got tired of it, because we didn't see any reaction out of them? They stood there like a bump on a log. They sat there. They didn't do anything. There was no response. There was no anything producing from that. And we thought, all right, well, it was nice knowing you. I'll see you later. And we're going to go look for someone else. All because it didn't produce. You know, this is when we're supposed to come alongside each other and say, no, hold on. I have a seed that is not producing anymore. And before it goes too far away, can you join with me in prayer and help me get some direction for this? What needs to happen here? We're going to lift them up in prayer. We're going to pray for that seed. We're going to pray that it brings forth an increase. But guess what? In that prayer, God might say, you're going to have to dig around it, and you're going to have to fertilize it and wait a year. Some of us have been waiting for a lot more than a year. I think of Brother Randy. I've heard it so many times from him, how long you and Brenda have waited for your sons. You've waited for your sons, but guess what? They're still breathing? Yes, they are. We got to start praying for the people that they need to hear, that they need to hear from. We need to start praying that they have an encounter with them. They don't want to hear mom and dad no more, do they? Guess what? God doesn't have to use mom and dad. God will use whoever he can use to get to them. So let's start praying in that situation that the right person starts coming across their path. That's what they need. They need the right person that can reach them on their level. Remember Paul? All things, all men. If you believe it, then step aside and let it happen. Praise God. We have to remember that we were once seeds that had to have a breakthrough in order to grow. Going back to the seed itself, as I touched on a little bit earlier, that seed when you plant it on the ground is in a shell. It is in a shell. And it has to break through that shell in order for it to grow, in order for it to produce, in order for it to have a harvest that can be reaped from it. But it needs a breakthrough. It's very easy to plant that seed and start saying, all right, come on, grow, grow. Dude, grow. Hold on. In the name of Jesus, I plant this seed in the ground right now by your stripes, what you've done for this seed's life. And I command this shell to be broken off of this as it's time for it to grow. And so it germinates and takes plant in these roots deep in this good soil. Come alongside that seed and allow that seed. Start praying prayers for these seeds to have a breakthrough. Stop praying for the increase when you haven't even had a breakthrough yet. We got to get the breakthrough. We got to pray for that seed's the breakthrough to happen. Now you transitioning to the last part. Remember the sun and the rain? It says God will bring the increase. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. He planted, Apollos watered together, but God gave the growth. It's so often we'll catch ourselves. We're still praying for this seed to grow when you haven't even tilled your field yet. We're waiting for this seed to grow, but what's going on? You can't make it grow. All you can do is guide it on its way up. That's all we can do. We're going to plant it and we're going to guide it. Think of tomato plants. Those things produce so much weight, you got to have racks that go in the ground for them to grow up in. So they grow out and hang over and they stand straight up. I hope that's right. If not, I sound really dumb. But that's what I see when I see tomato plants, right? The metal, whatever you want to call it. So there's gardeners in here, right? They grow up and they hang over so the plant can stay straight up. Hold up your plant. Hold up your plant and be willing to do whatever, whatever God needs you to do to keep that thing going. God's bringing the increase. God will bring the rain. God will bring the rain. And he'll bring the sun. Both S-O and S-U. He'll bring them both. He's coming. He's coming. And even if you planted your field, maybe you planted it and you didn't tile it and it flooded, guess what? Even farmers will go out there and replant their field. There's floods. Half their crops that they planted get washed away in the water. All right. Instead of complaining about it, why we got insurance, thank you, Jesus, on our crops. But we can still plant. It's still good soil. Water's just too much water at one time. But it's still good soil. It's time to be prepared not just to reap, but to sow. And sow with a purpose. It's time to start sowing seeds, knowing that every seed that I place in that ground is going to bear fruit. Not I hope it does, not I think it can, not I'm sure it will. It's I know. I know that that seed's going to grow because I'm doing what the Bible told me to do. I'm doing what Jesus said to do. I'm fertilizing. I'm working that ground. I'm going out there even in a garden when the plants have came up. You still got to go out there and pull the weeds. You still got to pull the weeds. Now, I know what the Bible says. If you get choked out by the thorns, you can't pull them up together, you get them both. I'm not talking about the weeds entangled. I'm talking about, guess what? If you do it often, you're not going to have weeds. If you keep your soil in good shape, you won't have the weeds. Maybe that means you got to lay a liner down before you throw some topsoil down. I don't know. But we got to plant with a purpose. It's time to start planting with purpose. Planting, expecting, and knowing that God is going to come by. He's going to grow this plant, and it's going to have a harvest. And heaven's going to grow. Heaven is going to grow. I'm going to ask my teens to come up that I've asked, and you can start that music there. This morning, I may not be as long-winded as the Cuban or our main pastor, but I gave the word that I felt like he wanted me to give, and that's all that matters, all right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's okay. Maybe we just needed some time to pray today. But
so there's nothing I can do to let
you. Here goes my notes. There they are. This morning, a couple things that I wanted to speak on, or touch on for this altar service. It's simply, maybe you feel like you are stuck. Maybe you feel like you have not seen anything produce. Maybe you feel like you've been planting seeds, but not one of those seeds have had any kind of increase. Maybe you feel like you have tried and tried and tried and tried over this person, but there's no response happening. I have what I like to call up here my sprouted garden that I have the pleasure of pastoring. Leah and myself, it is an honor to have these kids. It's an honor to have these kids come up here and do this because you know what they are? Right now, they're ready to be those metal racks that needs to help the tomato plant. That's what they're ready to be right now. We've talked about this. I spoke to them, and I said, listen, when I do altar call, I need you guys to come help me. Why? Because, like I said, this is a generational movement. It's a generational movement. And these are young, sprouted plants that know how to pray for rain. They know how to seek God's face. They know how to get in there and dig. Every week, I send a text message out to them. And I say, hey, here, I'll send them this, whatever we're going to have, the sermon. And then I'll say, what do I say? Bring a friend. Bring a friend. Bring a friend. And I tell them all. I tell them this all the time. They know this. We're not trying to make Lighthouse Team Ministries the number one team ministry. God will do that if that's what he wants to happen. But what we want to do is affect the others around them too. I tell them all the time, what else do I tell you? I don't want your friends here that already are saved. They can come if they ain't got nowhere to go, but that's not what we're talking about. We've talked about this. But if you today are in a spot where you feel like you're in a rut and you need some help and you need some prayer and you've been dealing with that one person that just won't leave your mind and you've tried and tried and tried to fertilize, to try to work that ground, you've tried your best, but that seed still hasn't done what you thought it needed to be done. And maybe it's you're just at a point in your life where you hit a wall and you're like, I don't know what else to do. I want you to come find one of these teens or a group of these teens. They will pray with you a prayer that's going to allow you to have a breakthrough for reaching those. Also, if you've been waiting on a seed that you planted to grow and you've seen nothing, if you've been waiting for that, I want you to come find a team. You don't have to wait for me to say go, but they're here. So if that's you, either one of those, I'm going to ask you to come forward and find a teen or a group of teens so they can pray with you. Hallelujah. Now, those of you that are back here, you have a job to do today. You can either do it from your seat or you can come up here. We got people up here seeking the face of God for the most important thing in this world, and that is people coming to Christ. So you can pray from your seats over what's happening, or you can get up here and pray with them. I'll leave that up to you. Hallelujah. You can turn it up a little bit.